WW2 and in Korea and in Vietnam off river. And maybe by the end of the week or sometime he'll be able to tell us. He can't talk right now, you know.
Yeah, well, he's part of your session, and we hope he can, too, that both of these brothers were aboard the West Virginia. And by the way, back there, for you West Virginia people, I've got a picture of the submarine West Virginia.
What?
The submarine West Virginia. I was invited to come down at the christening and commissioning of it. And while the old battleship West Virginia cost $40 million, the submarine West Virginia cost $1.5 billion to build.
Oh.
And while the battleship West Virginia was 624 feet long, the submarine is 460 feet long. So it's almost as long as the battleship. And actually, has a greater draft, underwater draft, than the West Virginia the battleship. There's a picture of it in the folder back there. Okay, Prentice, are you?
I heard something that I don't know whether it was recorded or written in the written summary of the 85 reunion, but there's a classic, doesn't take too many words, that stuck with me about the man from the destroyer in the Caribbean, where the local leader of the government came out and said he wanted to see the chaplain. Does somebody remember that? What was the man's name that was part of the crew and a commanding officer?
That was John Prince.
John Prince. Mm-hmm. We don't have any chaplain. And it came down to the fact that, well, they wanted to see him, so he was taking over to hold a meeting or something.
Yeah, there's, in these logs that we will spread out over here, there's an account of that, in there, a brief account of it.
That's a classic example of not a secular honor, but he had gotten across to this witness that brought out the leader of the town and down in the West Indies. I'd like to review the facts. I couldn't...
Yeah, well, you'll find that in one of those logs that are out there. Okay, keep them rolling here. Now, let's see, you 11 people are leading sessions. Have you got all your preparation done? Have you got all 90 minutes filled up? You're open to some ideas. Have you filled up all 90 minutes, you know? If you've got a 90-minute sermon, that's what I'm saying, you know. If you've got a 90-minute sermon...
We need to get together with the people in our team.
Yeah, Frank and Gene are not here yet. The people are going to work with you.
Jim, it's only 75 minutes. It's an hour and a quarter.
Oh, an hour and a quarter. Okay.
75.
Okay, only 75 minutes. Okay. That's still a pretty good length of a sermon. Pretty good.
That's a good idea.
By the way, this is Bob Benson up here, who's a friend of Roy's, that... you know, in the last reunion, we decided that we could all bring our relatives and friends and anybody we wanted to. So Roy's the only one that's brought somebody so far here. Okay, let's put do not erase on that, maybe. And if you've got any other suggestions, write them down. Now, one other thing we should do here, I've got a call from Lila today. And she left a message on the answering machine. We weren't home. And I recorded it. You know where the plug is here, Roy? I'll just hold this up. The quality is not that good coming from an answering machine onto this. And I didn't have a tape ready, so I got one that the funeral home had sent me about future arrangements. So... if I don't shut it off in time, you'll know that has nothing to do with Lila. I just recorded over it there.
Turn it towards your mic, Jim. Get towards your mic in front of it. Your lapel mic. Your lapel mic.
What happened to it?
Oh, give it a minute.
Oh. It's on pause here.
Play. There you go. We need a flashlight up here, too.
It's still on pause here.
You can tell he's a chief gunner, right?
Did we have it out of there before? I don't know. Maybe we may get the funeral message first here. I think it fell out and got him back in backwards. Give it a little time. There's some blank tape in there. Is it plugged in, Roy? Because it's running like it's the battery's running. Well, we'll play that later, okay?
I think you erased the tape.
I tested just before it came over, but she said she was very sorry she couldn't be here. Sent greetings, and we'll try to get it before the week is out. Okay, we're about ready to officially close, and anybody who wants to stick around and see what you looked like 7 years ago can. Any other question or comment anybody has? Well, we should have prayed when we started out, and I did. But, we're a little confused here at the beginning when we didn't get started on time, and I asked the trio to be here exactly 7:45, so that's what we were filling in. So let's thank the Lord for this first session and then pray about the rest of the time together. And Howard Davis, would you lead us, please?
Father, thank you for bringing all of us here together safely as we travel. Thank you for our loved ones that we remember as we reminisce. Thank you, Lord, for your good hand upon each of our lives. Now we commit this reunion to you that you might be glorified. The Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up, and our hearts would be lifted up to him. Thank you, Lord, for Jim and Marina and their planning. Thank you for each one who participates and helps. Lord, we give you the thanks. Give us a good night's rest now and help us to look forward to tomorrow, a day of rejoicing and fellowship in you. Father, we thank you through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, let's stand up, and then 3 minutes from now, anybody that wants to look at this 85 videotape, can do it, and if Roy and I are the only ones,
why? People up here have been referred to as the foundational four. Actually, it was a foundational five, because Gurney Harris, to whom Les just referred, is with the Lord. So we'll call you the four of the five. Okay, we're not in this sequence here now, but Virgil Hook, you spent how many years in Tibet?
About 10 years working among the Tibetan people.
Yes, now you had a very special privilege that enabled you to get around without the authorities interfering with you. What was that?
It was my Tibetan name.
Well, so now, you have a paragraph.
I had been taken from the, with the head of the the CNMA missionary group over to visit a head living Buddha in the monastery there, and I did a few magic tricks and played my little mouth harp for him, and he was quite pleased with me. So he asked me if I had a Tibetan name. I said no. He said, well, how would it be if I gave you one? Fine. So he gave me the name Lozon Drashi. Then going around, as people would ask, what's your name? I said, Lozon Drashi. He said, well, where'd you get a name like that? Because no Tibetan would ever give their child that name. It sort of includes like a doctor's degree along with it. And I said, oh, Alak Jayan Japa gave it to me. Oh, you know him. That sort of opened sesame then.
So, if you ever give any opposition, all you had to do is to get your name.
Yeah, just let my name be known.
Okay. Now, Virgil told us the other day that he almost had a Tibetan wife give it to him. Tell us about that incident.
I've been visiting a monastery and giving out tracts and all, and it was festival time, and at festival times only are women allowed in the monasteries. Otherwise, donkeys and women are not allowed in the monasteries. And as I was leaving, a lady and her daughter were walking along, and they talked a little bit with me, and then this lady said, are you married? I said, no. And she said, well, then you'd like to have my daughter, wouldn't you? And I said, Well, you know, she was right attractive looking young lady. I couldn't really say no. But I said, well, can she read? And the lady said, no, she can't read. So I said, well, I'd like to have a wife that can read.
You've read the scripture many times. I'm not going to have to talk the rest of you from Dan to Beersheba. What's the significance of from Dan to Beersheba?
It's the normal way of expressing the southern and northern and southernmost limits of the Holy Land, the land of promise.
How many miles is that, Dan to Beersheba?
It's 150 miles as the crow flies.
Now, you decided a few years ago that you wanted to make the trip from Dan to Beersheba, is that right?
That's right, I did.
And you made the trip?
And I made the trip, and how did you make the trip? I walked. I wanted to know what it was like to have the feel of the distances that the biblical characters had, and the only way to do that is to walk when they walked. And so I decided I'd walk from Dan to Beersheba. I wanted some of the comforts of civilization, so I wanted to have a little camping equipment and some textbooks and some photography equipment, and I couldn't carry all that, so I bought me a donkey at just above Dan on Mount Hermon. If it would have been, I planned if it was going to be a girl, it would be Beersheba, and if it was a boy, it's going to be Dan. And they showed me a lovely one that could be named Beersheba, but she was terribly pregnant, and I just couldn't conceive myself of being a midwife to a donkey out in the Netherlands. I asked if there wasn't a Dan available.
Now, was this donkey to carry your pack and camp equipment as well cooperative?
No, I think it was mainly my fault. You have to learn how to drive a donkey as much as learn how to drive a car. And I tried to get in high gear, but I never found those spots for me. I tried and tried one time, a little boy about 10 years old, saw my plight, and he got behind that donkey and he said those magic words, and all day long that donkey walked in high gear. And I tried to mimic his voice and tried to mimic his voice, and I couldn't fool the donkey.
What years were that you went and made that trip?
That was in 67.
Well, I hope these older navigators are an inspiration. When you're 64, you go bicycling in China. When you're not at the Cayos, you take a hike from Dan to Beersheba. John, have you? I've got one final question to ask each one of you here.
Okay. All right, but I don't think if I could take a look with the others, and if Gertie were here, I don't think we would settle for the first five. I really don't. I'd settle for the first six, and I think
somebody else is going to have to say this.
As much as I respect John and Bernie, Gurney and Les and Kirk, I think as far as setting the tone of the navigators, you've made more of a contribution than any other one of us, and that's for the record.
Became a professor of Greek and Hebrew after serving a short time as a pastor. I expect that many of you in this room have benefited from the complete concordance on the New International Version of the New Testament. And you'll notice that the compiler of that, Edward W. Goodrich, that you have here before you. John? Part of the Foundation 5, John Dedrick. By profession, John was a radio man.
somehow you got interested in celestial navigation. How did you get interested in celestial navigation?
Well, I joined the Navy specifically. I'd investigated in the recruiting station in Houston, Texas. I lived in Lima, which is 100 miles to the west. My dad took me in specifically because we knew when I got out of high school, we wouldn't have the funds to send me to college. We went and checked on the Navy to see what they had to offer, and we found out that they had two things to offer. One was what they called the Naval Academy Preparation Class, and they had a whole list of trade schools, electric and bugle school and music and who knows what else, and they had a radio school. But I joined the Navy. I thought I'll gamble 4 years of my life against the chance to get into this Naval Academy preparation class. That's the basic reason that I joined the Navy in June 1929. I went to Houston. In fact, I went to investigate and went back home and then later joined. But I thought if worse comes to worse, radio was an oncoming thing, and that fascinated me. I thought, well, if I don't make the Naval Academy preparation class, I'll take radio school. So when I joined the Navy, went on, I went through the basic training all of us have to take, and I qualified in a respect for the Naval Academy preparation class. And they had us all up there ready, and they were, well, the first thing they did was a physical examination, and they started our toes, toenails, you name it. I never had an examination out of it. They weren't taking anything as bone spavinous way back or you know what. And I don't know, that exam was about 3 hours, physical exam. And they worked up, and they left nothing untouched, and the last thing he looked at was my eye, and he blew his top. I'm blind, I'd fallen on a stick when I was a kid, and he said, blind people, how did you even get in the Navy?
On the navigation thing.
Okay,
here.
That's it. We're getting right into it. Then I took radio school. We're getting right there. I took radio school, but after I got out, I thought, well, I can't make a commission through the Naval Academy, but I'll work on my own and try to come up through the ranks. So I started studying navigation.
Yeah, then you met Dawson Trotman during that period.
And that was the period.
Did you ever discuss with him the use of the sextant to the star sites?
Yes, I was very fascinated with navigation.
And you explained that you actually taught him
how to
star sites.
What I had learned, yes, how to take sites, how to these spherical trigonometry is what it is. It's very simple. The celestial sphere, in fact, that's what had gotten me. I became an atheist because of the study of that. I could not conceive that there could be any being as tremendous as this universe when you study it even from the celestial navigation point of view, because every star is a fixed point out there that you work on. And I can explain the theory, but we don't want to go in that.
Okay. But Dawson Trotman was fascinated. Many of these, Virgil and Lester, met Mrs. Rittenhouse in San Diego before they met Dawson Trotman, and she had what was called a Servicemen's Bible Club. So when Dawson Trotman thought that there was enough interest to attach a name to what was going on, he asked her if they could call this Servicemen's Club number 2. But Mrs. Rittenhouse, I think, did not have that much confidence in how
it was. It was Miller Jameson had a radio Bible class, and that was what they didn't want. They weren't anxious for him to use this Bible class idea. If Miller Jameson, if I'm not mistaken.
You're right,
John. It was Miller Jameson.
Yeah, okay.
There was another written lesson.
No. Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Now, got the record straight.
Huh?
But Dawson Trotman was looking for a name. As he talked with John and saw what celestial navigation is all about, moving from one place to the other.
Find a new way.
Yeah, it occurred to him, you know, this is what everybody's doing. And without a chart and a guide and selection everything, you'd never make it. So it was out of Dawson Trotman's conversations with John Dedrick that the name Navigators came into being.
We didn't know then.
Now, John, you have spent how many years of your life in Mexico?
Well, I spent actually 37.
There. And your tribe is?
The Yaqui Indian tribe, northwestern Mexico.
How many
people in the tribe? Between 15 and 20,000.
And how many of them are Christians today?
I'd like to know. I don't know. It's a very difficult thing. It'll take hours to orient you.
I can't go into it.
We've done the New Testament. We're working. We worked until 1937 to get the New Testament done so that we could begin work. I mean, 1987. Oh boy, how about we worked 37 years to get the New Testament done so that we could begin work. And just within a few days, we had almost no opposition from any quarter until the New Testament was practically done. Now there are 8 sects trying to work with the Yaquis, and that includes Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and they are divisive, competitive, and they are sowing pure confusion, plus the fact that we're getting unbelievable competition from, or I should say, opposition from radical Marxists.
Okay, well, our time is about up. I figured out how much this hour is going to cost in the payroll. Estimated to be about $2,000 worth of time that we've used here, so we need to bring to a close. But I want to ask each one of these men up here just one question of the Navigator Basics. That is, let's say there's 4 points, and we won't talk about the Christ-centeredness, but the word, prayer, witnessing, and fellowship. Which one of those, and then the word being food memory, of those basics has been the most vital to you in these last 45 years? Ed?
I'd have to say from the top of my head the word.
Okay. The same. I hate to separate them, but if you have to say, I'd hate to draw the line. But yes, Scripture. When God talks, that's it.
Okay? I agree.
I do. I say the word.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Our time is up. We really appreciate being with you.
This mic is supposed to be alive here all time, so I'll just say for the people who are making a tape, Steve, there's some people here who want a copy of this videotape. You have the master copy. Will you talk to me about it, and we'll see how to get one.